it's all trivial, really. You know, you'd like to have an equal footing in terms of game preparation and everything else, but that it really is a minor issue. These guys are used to practicing in bad elements out there in Baltimore. I know they have the beautiful indoor facility, but playing outdoors, I think Joe Flacco and this team proved in Denver they can handle any conditions, and they're going to be productive in a practice setting no matter what the conditions are.
I wanted to ask you about the two quarterbacks in this game. Your game, of course, obviously, it's recognizable in Colin Kaepernick's game, that running. I'm kidding. No, very similar. But, no, Joe Flacco on our end, we are on in Baltimore, but the fact that this guy, people were saying he wasn't going to make any money with the way he played initially, now turns it on late, and many people are calling him the best deep ball thrower in the game, and it looks like he has ice water in his veins in the playoffs.
It's amazing how perceptions change, isn't it? But I will tell you this, and if you look back at history, I'm sure I've gone on with you guys in the past when I've been doing Baltimore games. Mm-hmm. I have always been, from day one, a huge Joe Flacco advocate and supporter. It baffled me the kind of, I don't want to say abuse, but it really is almost abuse that he was taking through the media and the fans in Baltimore for so long. And all of us former quarterbacks have all felt the same thing about this guy, that he is something special. We knew it would take care of itself in time if he could mentally hang in there and fight through it. What he's accomplished through the first 5 years of his career as an NFL quarterback really speaks for itself. To have the most wins ever in NFL history on the road in the playoffs, to make it to the playoffs for five straight years, his first 5 years in the league, and you look at the physical part of it, he can do it all, and he can also move very well. But the part that he always got ripped for and maybe was misunderstood for was the way he carried himself, his presence or lack thereof, people thought. But everybody has their own different way of getting it done. Joe Flacco's a supremely confident young man. It doesn't matter when you're looking at a quarterback how boisterous or how vocal he is. It's a matter of how he's respected in the locker room, how he carries himself in pressure situations. And I think Joe Flacco is showing what he's made of. And it's very good to see, and it kind of makes us all sound like we know what we're talking about.
Exactly. Scott?
Steve, every time I see you doing a game, I go back to a night after practice in South Bend when we were actually out to cover Notre Dame. You were going to play Navy back here at Memorial Stadium. I'm sure you remember that game here in Baltimore in your college career, but after practice it's dark, and you were gracious and did a one-on-one interview with us. But from your Notre Dame games, and I'm sure you're still close and proud of that program, just your thoughts on this whole Manti Te'o deal.
Well, it truly is a tragedy in many ways. You know, as a Notre Dame man, I really have a lot of respect for Manti Te'o and the way that he's carried himself up until this point. This issue is so baffling, so hard to put your arms around and comprehend, that there really is no way to comment on it with any certainty whatsoever. But I truly believe, from what I know from people back on campus, and I've met Manti Te'o, from my experience back there and everything that I've been able to decipher, I truly believe that he was not a part of this thing, that he really truly did not know that this was going on from the early stages. Now, it gets a little bit fuzzy from there.
Yeah.
When did he realize it? How does it go as long as it did? How does certain things happen along the way? You can't really – I can't understand and put my arms around that stuff, but I truly believe that to a very large extent that he had nothing to do with this and was – taken advantage of in many different ways.
Yeah, well, Dr. Phil got to the bottom of it yesterday, Steve, so that's all we need to know. But getting back to quarterback play and going back to 91, you were in Dallas and Aikman was the starter, but he got hurt, and you led them to the playoffs as he kind of sat by the wayside watching things unfold before that great dynasty began. That being said, how do you think Alex Smith is feeling right now? Is there anything similar to what happened with you back in the 91 season?
Well, totally different situation. You know, Alex Smith earned the right, I believe, to be in the position that Colin Kaepernick is in right now. Now, who knows how it would have unraveled if he would have been come back as a starter. He was 6-2-1 at that point. Colin Kaepernick is 7-2. Not much of a difference in terms of wins and losses. Alex Smith was one play away from making it to the Super Bowl last year. I think he earned the right to be in this position. Having said that, there's no way I'm going to question Jim Harbaugh's decision, because this kid is something else that's in there right now, Colin Kaepernick. As far as how Alex Smith is dealing with it, you know what? It is a tough, tough business, and this is as bad a situation as you could possibly have. But he's a guy that I think has weathered the storm several times in the past. He's chomping at the bit to get his next opportunity, and I think he will get that opportunity next year to go out and kind of reconfirm the fact that he is a top-notch starting quarterback in the NFL. But very difficult. My heart goes out to him because he had earned the right to be in this position. It's got to be tearing him up inside.
I know you're up against Steve Berline as he's joined us here on the Scott Garceau Show live from Radio Row, and I just want to get real quick a prediction. Which way you leaning? We've seen people on both sides of it here with the 49ers and Ravens.
I will tell you this. I think this is going to be a spectacular football game. I think this is going to be one for the ages. These two teams both belong here. I think they're both going to be ready to play. They're extremely focused. I think if you look at the rosters from top to bottom, I would have to give the edge to the 49ers. But I say that now as far as edge, when you look at the roster, I believe that the belief that the Ravens have and the way they're playing right now, the fact they believe they're a team of destiny, the level Joe Flacco's playing, the commitment to the run that Jim Caldwell's brought in, all these different factors, I believe the Ravens are going to win this game because I think it's going to come down to experience at quarterback and maybe inexperience for Colin Kaepernick at a key point in this ball game. I think there's going to be a mistake that goes against San Francisco. Baltimore's going to come out on top.
Hey, Steve, thank you so much for Steve, one thing real quick. How about the 70-yard pass to tie the Bronco game? Where does that rank on great moments in postseason history?
Well, it's got to rank right up there. It's too recent to put it in the realms of history, but one of the most unbelievable, unimaginable, unrealistic plays to ever happen, I believe, at that point in a ball game. 70-yard touchdown pass to tie the game.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable, and I think just a really bad play by the Denver Broncos safety. That's what it came down to.
Sure. Yeah.
Never,
thanks, Steve.
Never should have happened. You got it, guys. Take
care.
Thanks
a lot.